This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
I'm Caleb Zacharin, and you're listening to the New Books Network. Today I'm speaking with Professor Lucia Fernandez-Amaya about her new book, A Linguistic Overview of WhatsApp Communication from Brill. Lucia is professor in English at the Department of Philology and Translation at Pablo de Olavide University in Seville. Lucia, thank you for joining me today on the New Books Network.
Thank you.
So first question before jumping into the topic of the book, and it's a topic that I think people interact with WhatsApp all the time. So I think that they would love to know, a little bit more about the research behind it. But before getting into that, I'm just wondering, can you tell me a little bit about your background and how it is that you came to write this book?
Okay, sure. Well, as you have just mentioned, I'm a lecturer at Pablo de Olavide University in Seville, where I teach English as a foreign language for translation and interpreting bachelor students. And I also teach intercultural competence in a master's degree in intercultural, in international communication, translation, and interpreting, and in another master's degree in bilingual education. I hold a PhD in English linguistics from the University of Seville. And my research interests and publications focus on pragmatics, which, broadly speaking, we could say is the study of language and context, and also linguistic politeness, the language of surface encounters, and lately, digital discourse. So, why did I decide to study to begin writing about WhatsApp? Well, you know that WhatsApp is one of the most popular instant messaging tools. It was created by John Com and Brian Action in 2009 in California as an alternative to SMS, and was bought by Facebook in 2014. And according to Statista, which is a company specializing in market and consumer data, WhatsApp has 2 billion monthly active users, outranking WeChat and Facebook Messenger. And following Facebook and YouTube, it is the third most popular social network worldwide. In my opinion, WhatsApp is a very good communicative option, especially for international or group messaging, because it enables users to share text, images, video, and voice messages, as well as voice and video calling. And also, WhatsApp group creation affordances have contributed to the app's popularity, thanks to its user-friendly format. A group is formed by an administrator who sends invitations to other contacts. And all group members have access to the group conversation and may leave the group whenever they like, but only the administrator has the possibility to add or remove other people. In these, WhatsApp groups can be created for different purposes and can include friends, colleagues, or family members, among others. So when the pandemic began in March 2020, and people had to look for alternative ways of communicating, of seeing each other in the distance, WhatsApp usage was boosted by 40% or more. In fact, its usage increased in Spain is 76%. And this is beginning to be known as Generation Mute due to the preference for instant messaging instead of traditional calls. For instance, the use of these tools almost doubles phone calls in Spain, where 95% of Spaniards use them to communicate with each other. A tendency that is even higher among Spain's young population, and almost 97% of Spanish citizens between 14 and 24 years old use WhatsApp as their preferred means of communication with family and friends. So it comes as no surprise that WhatsApp support communication began gradually attracting the attention of researchers, and that was my case.
So how did you principally examine these communications? You know, what data sets did you look at, and what approaches did you take to analyzing the information?
Well, I began my research on WhatsApp communication in 2019. At that time, WhatsApp had been studied from a sociological or anthropological perspective in different communities of practice, for instance, parents or women, adolescents, university students, etc. And there were also other works that focus on WhatsApp use in various professional fields, for instance, health or business, computer studies, etc. Likewise, at that time, WhatsApp was also triggering academic research from a linguistic perspective. However, I realized that despite this growing body of literature that had investigated the use of WhatsApp, there was a little research on conflict talk in this group of interaction, even less in Spanish. So I decided to explore conflict in the WhatsApp chat I have with my family. Then I took into consideration the participants' linguistic strategies, as well as their use of multimedia elements and emojis. And in that case, the analysis showed that most contributions were text only, despite the availability of several emojis to emphasize feelings of anger. So to my mind, a possible explanation could be that the conflict was so heated that the participants wanted to make their point of view very clear. And that's why their use of emojis was marginal, since you know that emojis are more open to different types of interpretation. And also regarding the kind of language used, I found instances of unconventional spelling and punctuation, letter repetition and abbreviations, which in a way were used by these family members to compensate the effect of the lack of verbal communication. Furthermore, I saw that conflict didn't progress in a linear way, as in dyadic interactions, but in a networked manner. So there were several turns from various members who even were writing at the same time with side sequences that inserted a conflict within another. Consequently, I believe that that's very important to analyze conflict in this kind of digital group interactions from both a synchronic and diachronic perspective. After that, I carried out two more studies analyzing the expression of disagreement in WhatsApp, and the data were taken once again from my family chat and from another chat I have with work colleagues. So when comparing these two, I found very significant dissimilarities, most notably the higher presence of disagreement in the family WhatsApp group. And this higher tolerance for disagreement was in a way corroborated by the choice of the linguistic strategies that they made. Well, whereas the family members tended to give emotional or personal reasons for this disagreement, as well as negative comments on the topic at hand, the colleagues preferred to express their disagreement with mitigating expressions and talk in agreement, you know, the one in which you say, okay, yes, but, and then you disagree, right? So in order to have a solid background for this research, I had to read previous studies, and I realized that there was no volume dedicated to the use of WhatsApp from a linguistic perspective. So I decided to contribute to a digital discourse analysis by providing a critical review of the state of the art of WhatsApp studies. So with this idea in mind, I performed different searches in March 2021 in three well-known databases, MLA, LLaVA, and Scopus, that compile linguistic sources. And I evaluated different types of documents and classified them into two main thematic domains. On the one hand, those references that focus on WhatsApp linguistic traits, and on the other, works that describe the use of WhatsApp to learn English as a foreign or second language. And based on this critical literature review, I could detect relevant lines of future research.
What was the most surprising thing that you discovered in your research?
Well, I would say that the fundamental role played by multimodal elements, such as photos, memes, or videos, and also emojis. So, for instance, when analyzing conflict and disagreement, these multimodal elements have different functions, such as originating the conflict themselves, showing disapproval with other opinions, or displaying emotion, among many others. I was also surprised by the number of studies having adopted a WhatsApp corpus-based approach to English as a foreign or second language, which have mushroomed over the last decade. So following a pre-test and then post-test design, these studies have focused on understanding whether the sub improved specific linguistic skill. Some also have examined students' opinions on the use of WhatsApp to learn English, which were very positive. And the works provide substantial evidence that WhatsApp offers numerous benefits for English as a foreign or as a second language teaching. And not only does WhatsApp communication increase these students' motivation to learn, but it also enables them to improve various skills. So I agree with these researchers that WhatsApp could be a good instrument to complement and update traditional instruction, which appears to be on the decline. Nevertheless, I have also to recognize that the use of WhatsApp to learn English in class may present day-to-day difficulties in the case of primary and secondary school students. For instance, here in Spain, some schools forbid the use of mobile phones, so it could be a problem.
Have you noticed any changes since doing this work? Have you noticed any ways that you use WhatsApp? Have you had any changes in your usage?
Well, not really. For instance, in the case of language, that's what I focus on. My research is focused on, right? So I use exactly the same non-standard punctuation or spelling. I to this day, I keep on omitting capital letters or written accents in the case of Spanish, or changing some letters in words in order to make it more oral, things like that. But what I did was to become more conscious of the things that I was doing before, right? So I haven't changed in doing things, but I have become more conscious of the things that I was doing.
How does WhatsApp use differ across countries and languages? You've already talked a little bit about the potential for learning English via WhatsApp, but just more generally.
Yeah, I'm afraid that cross-cultural studies are scarce. And I feel that a possible explanation is that it's the fact that, unlike other types of digital discourse, which are openly available, think of online reviews on BlaBlaCar, Airbnb, or TripAdvisor, or chats on Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, to name a few, collecting this kind of private language corpora is a challenge in itself. So BioNerd WhatsApp researchers use convenient data taken from a group of people who were easy to reach, such as their list of contacts, or their students, as it was in my case. And this is because, owing to ethical considerations, it's really hard to obtain a representative corpus of group interactions. The main problem is that all participants must give their consent. So it only takes the lack of consent of a single WhatsApp group member to invalidate the use of the chat information. And another ethical issue to consider is the duration of this consent. You know that some WhatsApp groups can last forever. So in such cases, if the members give their consent for a given project, do researchers have the right to use the conversations forever too? Well, despite these difficulties, I believe that these contrastive studies are necessary to check whether any general WhatsApp-mediated communication traits are independent of specific cultural constraints. Well, there's evidence so far that suggests that emojis carry out specific linguistic functions, and that they may fulfill different purposes in different languages, or they may be interpreted in different ways by people with different cultural backgrounds. And the same would apply to memes, for instance, whose use or interpretation may differ depending on the given culture, the messaging app, but also on whether they are sent to a single addressee, to a group, or to a mass audience. And moreover, it's been confirmed that variables such as age and gender affect the language used in WhatsApp. And it's also necessary, therefore, to extend the number of studies that analyze these variables across different cultures. For instance, to give you a personal example, during a conversation with a colleague, she told me that one of her British Erasmus students on a visit to Spain was literally shocked at having been included in so many WhatsApp groups without giving her permission. So she was also overwhelmed by the frequency and quantity of the Spanish conversations in these groups, as she didn't have time to keep up to date with all the information. So as far as the student is concerned, this communicative behavior was very different from what she was used to in the UK, and she needed time to adjust to it.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. And this is the part I really like. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning. You simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor's the solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. Head to factormeals.com/NBN50 and use code NBN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code NBN50 at factormeals.com/NBN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
You've talked a little bit about some of the other research on WhatsApp, but I'm wondering, you know, in addition to research on WhatsApp, if there's also other communication platforms that you considered and that maybe helped you understand how communication on WhatsApp occurs compared to, say, SMS or Messenger or Facebook or other social media platforms?
Well, as I said before, for my book, I searched three different databases, and some of these studies compared WhatsApp with other platforms, as you were mentioning. Some of them compare the linguistic characteristics of WhatsApp communication with SMS or with the language used on Facebook or Twitter. But after analyzing all these publications, in the case in my book, what I talked was about the linguistic characteristics of WhatsApp, you know, talking about its general linguistic traits or the information contained in the profile statuses, the use of multimodal elements, the main language variations, etc. Yeah, but some of the studies compare the language used in different platforms. Yeah.
Is there something that you discovered that, you know, was very unexpected for you to learn in the data?
Well, and I may, as I mentioned before, I was surprised by the number of studies analyzing WhatsApp for English as a foreign language or English as a second language, and I think that this is so due to the pandemic, right? So you know that. With the lockdown and everything, we had to look for new ways of teaching from the distance. And I think that teachers found this instant messenger tool very, very useful for the students. And in fact, in these studies, they also carried out several surveys, and it seemed that students were also very happy with it. Yeah.
What areas of future research do you think should be done on WhatsApp or even beyond WhatsApp, just on social media sites in general?
Well, you know that in the case of WhatsApp, it is constantly updating its affordances, and this is a major issue because it's sets of available emojis, memes, GIFs, stickers are continuously growing and changing, and such updates can affect early results, or perhaps even to the extent of invalidating them, right? So therefore, it's important to constantly renew research on WhatsApp communication so as to keep the findings up to date. For instance, when I was writing the book, no studies on WhatsApp and WhatsApp's GIFs or stickers in English or Spanish had been done. And in addition, I feel that WhatsApp audio files appear to be increasingly used, and yeah, far too little attention has been paid to them. Another niche that's worth investigating is the comparison of the communicative strategies used in specific face-to-face and WhatsApp speech events, such as the language used, for instance, for service encounters or political campaigns, right? These have been largely explored in face-to-face communication, but no research has been performed on the language used on WhatsApp for these purposes. So to my mind, the increase in the use of mobile phones generally and WhatsApp in particular justifies the relevance of this kind of future digital research.
Since writing this book, is there anything that you feel that, you know, any interesting feedback that you've received, any perspective change that you might have had, that's something that you wrote about where you feel that maybe you've changed your opinion, or maybe on the flip side of that, something that you wrote or said that you feel has been very validated since publication?
Well, I would say that, in fact, my initial ideas were corroborated, right? So that with those studies, what I saw that was that communication on WhatsApp cannot be analyzed in a linear way, as in, you know, a face-to-face communication, because the fact that you can write a message and the other person can see that message like 2 hours later, and another conversation can be, in the case of group interaction, another conversation can begin in the middle. So this is very, very interesting, and that the things that I thought before starting to work with this kind of digital language were in a way corroborated. It is quite difficult, but very to analyze, of course. And the bigger the group, the more difficult it is. But it's really, really interesting.
And what are you working on now? Are you continuing looking at WhatsApp, or are you looking at anything new?
Well, at this moment, I'm at the co-head of a research project funded by the European Regional Development Fund, together with my colleague Maria de la O Hernández López. And this project is entitled Digitalization of Human Interactions and Its Social Impact. And its group members are researchers from different universities in Spain, the UK, and the USA. And as part of this research project, we are preparing a special issue for the Journal of Language Aggression and Conflict, dealing with conflict in Spanish digital interactions. Furthermore, at this moment, I'm carrying out three different studies analyzing different types of digital discourse. None of them are related to WhatsApp at this moment. So, to begin with, I've just finished a study with one of the members of this research group, Professor Garcés Conejos Glitrich from the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. And in this case, we have explored the social identity of Karen and applying politeness and impoliteness models and general notions of morality, moral emotions, and strategies of digital violence against women we have analyzed posts evaluating 12 videos showing cat-like behavior. And those videos have been posted to Instagram's Karen's Gone Crazy. In this case, the results showed that this website constitutes an other condemning emotional space where behavior considered anti-normative in offline public spaces is in turn uncivilly evaluated. Also, the dynamic between incivility against Karen and in-group civility emerges as something very important. We also saw some connections between widespread misogynistic ideologies and the emergence of Karen. This research is going to be part of a volume entitled The Discursive Construction of Place in the Digital Age, which will be published by Routledge next year. Moreover, at this moment, I'm also analyzing 100 Instagram profiles of Spanish women who decided to stop get their hair colored during COVID-19 pandemic. So this apparently is insignificant individual choice became a female empowering act when shared on social media, trying to confront mainstream notions of beauty. In this case, what I found is that user profiles help to construct an attractive online identity that reflects the way users perceive themselves and would like to be perceived by others. So in this respect, it seems that revealing that they are going gray is an integral part of this group of women's online identity. And for that reason, I'm examining the discursive realizations of these Instagram profiles, focusing on content, linguistic strategies, and multimedia elements. And the preliminary results show that most of the profiles analyzed contain multimodal self-presentations, that is, a combination of text, hashtags, ad mentions, hyperlinks, and emojis. And regarding content, the findings reveal the existence of recurrent themes conveying empowerment, you know, sense of liberation, self-confidence, all of them associated with the idea of transitioning to gray. And this research is also going to be part of a volume entitled Evaluating Identities Online, Case Studies from the Spanish-Speaking World, which will be published by Pargrave next year. And finally, I'm also conducting a research with a Greek colleague, Dimitra Vladimirou, who's working at Coventry University in the UK. And in this case, borrowing our conceptual tools from feminist pragmatics, language aggression, and impoliteness research, and also inspired by insights from social media critical discourse studies, what we do is to explore how Spanish-speaking and Greek-speaking Twitter users target two female politicians positioned at opposite ends of the political spectrum. On the one hand, the Spanish left-wing MP Irene Montero, and on the other hand, the Greek right-wing MP Nikki Keramet. The preliminary results of our study reveal that despite the opposing social values and ideological positionings reflected in the tweets examined, misogynistic abuse anchored in sexist representations of women emerges as a salient shared strategy in both Spanish speaking and Greek speaking data sets. Yeah, and that's all at this moment.
Yeah, those sound like a lot of really interesting projects, all taking you all around the globe. But, you know, still, this, you know, similar theme of the internet uniting it. But yeah, those all sound very fascinating. And, you know, please reach out. Please reach out when those books come out. Thank you so much for being a guest on the New Books Network. It was great hearing from you and learning a bit more about WhatsApp. Of course. Yeah. Thank you.